Today on Real Radio.
Scholars have argued as to this. How are we to be deemed worthy? Well, if you read the Bible in totality, I think you'll come up with the answer quite easily.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 21. The passage tells us of the Messiah's closest followers firing questions at Jesus having to do with future events. As we are learning in this mini-series, some of the prophecies have been fulfilled, some not yet. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more in his mini-series called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus.
Did you know right across the parking lot at LA Fitness, there's about 150 people there at 5 a.m.? And we come in like this with our coffee, with an IV running to our veins, with we come in here and pray, and those people over there, they got their spandex tighties on, and they're like, come on, man! They're punching each other around, doing all this stuff. Let me tell you, which one's going to last forever? Mm-hmm. Which one, though, do more people get into? Mm-hmm. The one that lasts the shortest. But my point is this, we need to discipline our lives, not only physically, we all need to work out. I mean, look at us, we need to work out, I need to do it, I'm trying to do it. It hurts though. And the Bible says physical exercise profits a little bit, but spiritual exercise profits eternally. Amen. Okay, that's my excuse for not working out. But we need to be a disciplined people. And Jesus says in verse 32, assuredly, I say to you. Will you mark that down? Assuredly, that's truly, truly. I say to you. Mark that. I say to you. This generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Two things. Number one, when he says this generation, scholars have argued as to what it means. The word genea in Greek means either a time frame or a race of people. What is the answer? The answer is both. In the last days, the world will see the events culminating that indicate that the Lord is near to returning. Important, all people. That will happen during the time that Israel has been brought back from the world and is a nation again. The word is pregnant with both meanings. Both apply. But here's the most important thing to me. Jesus is the only prophet in all of the Bible that never said, thus saith the Lord. Look at it. Assuredly, I say to you. Look down at the end of the verse. He says, heaven and earth will pass away. That's the atmosphere, the starry sky, and the earth will pass away. But what? My words will by no means pass away. Isn't this incredible? Jesus never said, thus saith the Lord, Peter. Thus saith the Lord, John. Jesus says, I say unto you. Why? Because he was the Lord. Why would he say, thus saith the Lord? He was the Lord. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, thus saith the Lord. That's me. No, he would say, I'm saying to you. I say to you. Because he's the Lord. I say to you. He's the only one. Isn't that awesome? And Jesus says, and this is a declaration of deity. If you're struggling, is Jesus God? How about this one? My words will never cease to exist. They are eternal. The atmosphere, the stars, they'll perish. The earth will vanish away. My words are eternal. That's a declaration of God. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. What an amazing statement. Listen to this. Talk about working out and being disciplined spiritually as a believer. Listen, church, I wish I could do this. And that is, I wish I could hook all you guys up and make you work out spiritually and say things like this. Now, I'm just pretending right now, okay? This isn't for real. But you're going to do children's ministry and you're going to do parking lot ministry and you're going to do greeters ministry and you're going to be doing evangelism ministry. And I mean, that's what I would do if I was a dictator. But God doesn't do that to us, does he? No. He says, hey, you guys, if you would like to get involved in ministry and greeting and parking lot ministry and service, come. Don't bury your your gift, your talents, come on. He invites you. When the scripture tells us that we are to be disciplined as believers, it means that you and I are to get up. I mean, think about just a normal morning where you get up tomorrow morning, it's time to go to work, you shave or you do whatever you do if you're a girl, but a guy, we shave, we do things, we whatever, and we go and we do, and there's certain disciplines. You got to leave the house at a certain time, you got to be dressed a certain way, you got to whatever. These are disciplines. We do them so often that they're called a routine. And that's exactly how we should be spiritually, not lazy about it. We should be more disciplined in our spiritual life than we are in our physical life. By the way, if you're disciplined in your spiritual life, your physical life will be incredibly blessed. Very, very much so. I preface that with this verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Listen carefully. And I'm going to read this, and you need to follow with me. Watch. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And if I stopped right there, you would begin to panic. What was that verse again? Continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And there's a comma right there before it goes to the 13th verse. Did you know that verse, verse 12, cults have been made on that verse? Did you know I could say here right now, hey, the Bible says that you are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So start shaking, man. You better be terrified. You could burn in hell in any moment. And you better work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, no. And you feel saved on Sunday, but then you feel lost by Monday afternoon. But then again, you feel saved on Wednesday, but you feel lost by Thursday. People live like that because they never read the verse that follows. See, the word to work out your own salvation, the word work out means to present yourself fully. It doesn't mean to do anything other than this, to bring yourself to Him. And then what? That's verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, those of you who are halfway sleepy right now, you're like, what? And you're going to go away all messed up. You are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is, you present yourself before the holy living God and say, Lord, here I am. You died on the cross for me. I'm going to live in this world for you. What do you want me to do, God? And the Lord says, awesome. I live inside you by the power of my Holy Spirit, and I'm going to start calling the shots in your life. Do you trust me? Yes, Lord. And this is what I want you to do. And God begins to speak. God begins to use you. You say, Jack, that's a radical way to live. You know what? In my opinion, it's the only way to live. Because you know what? If you think, Jesus said, if you give up your life, you're going to find it. But if you keep your life, you're going to lose it. Why? It's all about control. You can go around this world thinking that you have control and you try to control everything, and you really just kind of wind up having a life of a very mediocre Christian existence. You're going to heaven, but you're not having much fun en route. And you're not seeing much of what God wants to do. You hear about it and read about it in books, but none of that's happening with you. Why? Because you have not gone to the next verse to understand that God wants to work what He wants to do through you if you're just willing. And when you say, Lord, I want to give up my life and have you live it through me, God says, I can do something with that. That's something I can work with. And then He goes and He opens up doors. It's amazing. And you'll know it because they're big. Your boss will say, hey, can you come in here? Is that a Christian sticker on your car? Yeah. Shut the door. Uh-oh. What is it? I want you to tell me about Jesus. Stuff like that will begin to happen, and you're going, can this be true? Let me tell you something. You present yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to work out my own salvation. My salvation that I have, I don't want to sit on it. I want to shout it to the world. And God says, let's do it then. Let's go. It's an awesome thing. Look at verse 34. Jesus says, take heed. Remember that verse? Remember that word, I mean? It means to be on guard. Take heed. Watch out. To yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. The word weighed down is an amazing word here. In the Greek language, in the word picture that's presented is this way. Can you imagine this? The word means that a man, there's a man coming up to a ship, and the ship is sinking, and it means that the man ties himself to a sinking ship. Would you tie yourself to a sinking ship? Can you imagine being in England? And is that the Titanic? Yeah. Hey, I had a dream that it's going to sink. Wow, really? Yeah, it's going to hit an iceberg. It's going to sink. Wow. Yep, I had a dream last night. It's going to sink. Anyway, where do I buy a ticket? You say, well, nobody would do that. Exactly. Who would tie themselves to a sinking ship? Guys, let me remind you. The Bible says, Peter tells us, this world that you and I live in, it's going to burn up. Eventually, this world's going to become ashes, nothing. It's all going to be nothing. Did you know that everything that you and I have, look at the clothes you're wearing. Did you know that God has loaned you those clothes? Somebody's here today and they don't really know the Lord so much and they're thinking, are you kidding, Pastor? I worked hard for this shirt, man. I bought it. It's mine. It's my money. It's mine. You're so funny. You don't even know what you're talking about. Not only is the shirt God's, but your very body belongs to God. You know the air you breathe in? God's air. It's all his. And you think it's yours? The scriptures tell us that whatever we have, whatever we are, do it all to the glory of God. Live your life that blesses God. Do you realize how incredibly liberating that would be if we did that? So everything that you and I have, I mean, these parents with these beautiful little babies this morning, those babies are on loan from God. He made them. It's amazing. So whatever you have, whatever that thing is, understand this. Jesus is warning, don't be weighed down with the cares of this life. Now, it's funny, we are so susceptible to this that we can see someone else's cares of this life and it begins to affect us. You know what I mean? You know what I saw this weekend? A white Lamborghini. You know what that is? It's not a spaghetti dinner meal, it's a Lamborghini. A Lamborghini. Now, I look at it and I go, a Lamborghini? I'm in a Ford truck. That guy's in a Lamborghini. Lord, don't I deserve a Lamborghini? I mean, life is short. And you can get into this little mind trip. How come she's got a dress like that? Well, what about, how come they have a home over there? On and on it goes. Fill in the blank in your life. Fill it in with something. It grabs you. It pulls on you. Jesus says, watch out. There's cares of this world that will, they're like sinking ships. They'll pull you down. And all you have to do is be longing for that thing that somebody else has. So I'm looking at this Lamborghini. And you start thinking, because we are terrible people. Or maybe it's just me. I'm thinking, man, well, you know, you ought to enjoy it now because, you know, eternity's coming. That dude, you know, and you start thinking, wait. That dude what? Who is that dude? I start thinking, well, he's, okay, Lamborghini must be going to hell. Lamborghini going to hell. Why? Now, if I had it, Lamborghini, blessed by God, going to heaven. Do you see what we do? We don't like it if they have it. But if we have it, it's awesome. It's great. And then they have it. Hey, we never grew up. And you think, wait a minute. That guy could be a believer. You might leave here today and there's a white Lamborghini in the parking lot. What if the guy's a Christian? He can drive that truck or that Lamborghini to the glory of God. It's his. Lord, it's yours. It's all yours. The key is don't let it grab onto your heart and pull you down. Now, that begs this question. It doesn't have to be a Lamborghini. You can have the best looking Yugo or Hyundai that the world has ever seen. I'm driving this Hyundai. It could be a bicycle and you can be all puffed up. I got the best bike in town. Who cares? The truth is it's God's bike. And you should belong to God too. And if you do, then all is well. And you won't be pulled down with the cares of this life. The old keeping up with the Joneses is a dangerous thing. Jesus says, watch out for that. And then finally this, we look at verses 36 to 38. Because being ready causes you and I to be watchful. Mark it. Verse 36, watch therefore and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come upon or come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. What an awesome verse. You can put your name next to that. Because here's the great thing. Scholars have argued as to this. How are we to be deemed worthy? Well, if you read the Bible in totality, I think you'll come up with the answer quite easily. How do we become worthy to enter heaven in the first place? How do we become worthy to be called God's children? How does that happen? Are we not, according to the Bible, all sinners that we can be saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ? Huh? That's what the Bible says. We've all sinned. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, how about this? Have you ever known something to do the right thing and you didn't do it? You did the wrong thing? Did you know that's... the Bible sums that whole debate in your head that you had with yourself up in one word. Sin. Sin in English means to miss the target. We're to be watchful for the Lord. And he says, pray that you be counted worthy. So how do I become worthy? Oh, that's a great question. But note this, before we answer it, watchfulness and prayerfulness, that's what it's going to take to be ready. What comes to your mind when you think of watchfulness? I think of a person sitting up for days on end. Maybe they got pots of coffee around them. Their eyes are bloodshot red because they don't want to miss something. I think of the guards that I've seen at Lenin's tomb at Red Square or Buckingham Palace in London. Or maybe the soldiers at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington. They're standing there and you mess up and they're coming after you. It's a beautiful thing. I've seen it happen. They're watching. They're watchmen. The believer's to be a watchman. And then prayerfulness. Being in an attitude of prayer all the time. Living your life, praying, talking to God, fellowshipping with him. But how do we become worthy? I want you to write this verse down. I'm going to give you a couple of verses and show you something here. Philippians 3:9, listen to this. That we are to be found in Christ, not having our own righteousness. Wow, that burns. We're to be found in Jesus Christ, not in our own righteousness, not in any attempt for us to attempt to be good enough, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness is from God by faith. 2 Timothy 2:1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the pattern of sound doctrine which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:28, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man complete in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Very quickly, I brought this from my office. It's perfect to describe this. What do you see? This is a Russian nesting doll or matryoshka doll. And you guys know what's inside here? More of them. You only know that because you've seen these before. But normally, if you've never seen them before, you don't think there's nothing in here. What kind of a question is that? There's nothing in there. It's a doll. It's a wooden doll. And all the kids love it because they don't expect it, because when you open it up, you take this off and you begin to disassemble these things. And then you, what's inside here? And you keep going until you just keep going. You know, you just keep going. And these little guys, you keep going, doing your thing until this little guy comes out. Okay? What's the deal? Well, that very word in Christ, I think we in the age in which you and I live in now, it's not good enough anymore to ask somebody if they believe in God. I mean, Satan believes in God. The Bible says Satan believes in God and he trembles, but he's not going to heaven. There's a code word that's found in the Bible. It's in Christ. Only a believer knows that term, in Christ. Yeah, but Jack, what does that look like? Well, as I reassemble these, with each reassembling, we go back to the original, and this is all we see. This is exactly the meaning of that Greek word. A Christian can be very small, insignificant, flawed, broken, silly, imperfect. And you'll never know. Because the believer is surrounded by Christ. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you don't join a church. Where did you get that idea? From some church that wanted you to join? When you become a Christian, you shouldn't yield up your bank account or your identity. Where'd you get that from? When you become a Christian, the Bible declares that you place yourself by saying this, watch, Lord, I'm sorry for the sins that I've committed in my life that put you on the cross. I understand that now, that you being God came and died in my place on the cross because no good man could have died for me. There's not a good man. So God came and died in my place to take the righteous judgment of God. Now watch. I put my faith in you. And when you turn to him, you become born again, Jesus said it. You start new. And the scripture says that your old life now is hidden in Christ. And that your sins are removed from you as far as the east is from the west. God says, I will remember your sin no more. How can he do that when he's God? He's got perfect recollection. Is there a contradiction? No. Salvation allows Jesus Christ, who died in your place and mine, to hide you and I in Christ so that when God the Father looks at you in your direction, he sees only Christ. That's why when we walk in the light as he is in the light, his blood cleanses us from all sin because fellowship remains open to the believer. But what about the non-believer who now this little silly illustration is starting to take shape? Ah, you are coming out of darkness into the light. You are understanding it's not by any good works, money, or effort that you'll ever make it to heaven. You've fooled yourself if that's what you're thinking. You've been lied to if that's what you've been told. You are to come, for the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. And you come and present yourself, Lord, forgive me. The Holy Spirit picks you up and places you inside Christ, your salvation, your Lord. And the Father looks, and all he sees is not a bunch of us. He sees Christ Jesus, and he sees you and I washed in the blood of Christ, free. It's amazing. That's why the Bible says, now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of God in glory.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a mini-series called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus. And of course, the implication being that we can believe in a false Jesus, as well as false prophets, false doctrines, and so forth, just as Scripture warns, both Old and New Testaments. It's part of our verse-by-verse journey through the Gospel of Luke, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, in commemoration of Passion Week and the Real Jesus, we recently brought to you portions of a four-part series called Only Jesus. And we want to let you know that it's still available on DVD through Real Radio. Our offer? For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll send to you Pastor Jack's four-part DVD series, Only Jesus. Call, click, or write in order to do so. Ask for it by name if you call or visit us online. Only Jesus. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can pay us a visit at our new realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.